our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And Father, what an incredible promise this is that you've given us. We have an inheritance that cannot be destroyed. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be fading, Lord. It is reserved. It's reserved for us. And Father, I do pray that we would never lose sight of this. And even when there's turmoil and trouble in our lives and in our hearts, Lord, may we just look to you. For you are the one that gives us strength and hope and purpose. You're the one that heals. You're the one that comforts. You're the one that has extended your hand of mercy every single day to us, awaiting when we awake, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us by your Spirit and through your Scriptures this morning. Father, and any trouble that might be in our hearts right now, and Lord, my heart's a bit troubled right now, so I pray that you would just wash over me by your Holy Spirit and empty me of myself that I might focus in on you. Please, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Good morning, family.
Good morning.
There is joy in the Lord. Don't you just love to walk in the Spirit of God?
Yes.
And know and sense His presence. And really, as we open up today's passage, this is really what we're going to be talking about. You know, hearing God's voice in life. And today, we're going to be going through the very same verses we went through last week in Acts chapter 3. It's not the same message. There's actually two lessons in there, one of which is much more obvious than the other. But today's message is entitled, God's Spirit Speaks. Do you believe that? I believe God's Spirit speaks. For if His Spirit didn't speak, I wouldn't have anything to hear, you know. And the same is true for all of us. We need to hear from heaven and then respond accordingly. Well, in Acts chapter 3, it says, I'll read the first 11 verses one more time, and it says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering or greatly amazed. And I guess they would be amazed, wouldn't they, seeing what took place. It's just an incredibly beautiful account. Yes, we saw this account. We studied this account of this miracle. The healing of this man is known as, remember, just a certain lame man without name. But that's what he was called. And as we talked about last time, we can insert our name in there because, let's face it, and no offense to anybody, but we are lame in many, many ways. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. And before we came to Christ, before we were saved, what were we? We were spiritually lame, and God healed us. Praise Jesus for that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, In you he made alive. I'm so grateful for that life. He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, And in Ephesians 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And of course, Paul would add, by grace you have been saved. And that's a great reminder, isn't it, for us? It's all God's grace. We can't save ourselves. We can't attempt to save ourselves. We are saved purely by the grace of God and trusting in the one whom God has sent to redeem us. So God delivered us from spiritual lameness, right? Which is eternally deadly. Spiritual lameness is death, eternal separation from God. But he has given us life, brought us to new life, and he's given us a brand new birth. I am so thankful for that. This miracle of this lame man healed, and it's no less of a miracle than when you were healed of your spiritual sin too. You know, your spirit was healed, forgiven of sin, and that's a miracle that people like you and I can go to heaven, isn't it? When you think about it, our sins have separated us from God, but God made a way in his providence and in his love. He cared for us, he reached down to us, and he plucked us out of the clay, removed us from the mire, and set our feet upon a rock. Praise God for his salvation. What a miracle. But I want to talk about another miracle that we see here. And as we read it, as we read this passage, maybe it's not quite as obvious to you as the miracle of this lame man healed. And quite honestly, the miracle of this lame man being healed is in this passage, it certainly takes center stage, doesn't it? This is what we remember, but there's something else going on here too. Equally important and critical to the healing of this lame man was another miracle that actually preceded his healing. Well, what then is this first miracle that preceded this healing? It's this. Peter, the apostle, received a revelation from God that God desired to heal this lame man. It probably occurred as God's Holy Spirit sent a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom coupled with faith, right to Peter's heart. You see, Peter didn't stop at every sick person, did he? He didn't stop at every lame person that he crossed paths with. He didn't even stop at this man that was called lame previously. He just kept on doing what he did every single day. Peter passed by him as he entered into the gates of the temple, certainly many, many times. But this day, it was different. God communicated with Peter through his Holy Spirit that he wanted to heal this man, and he provided Peter with a word of knowledge. Well, what's a word of knowledge? It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, in verse 8, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." And a word of knowledge is when God supernaturally reveals a piece of knowledge to you that you would have no way and otherwise have known. Well, what's the purpose for that? Ephesians 4, verse 12 tells us this. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what all the spiritual gifts are about. And most importantly, it's all to the glory of God. It's not for us to bring glory on ourselves. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with bringing God the glory. A word of knowledge was given in Jesus' life to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He said to this woman, "Go get your husband." And she said, "Well, I don't have a husband." And Jesus said, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one you have now isn't your husband." What did Jesus receive? He received a word of knowledge. In Acts 5, the Holy Spirit gave a word of knowledge to the Apostle Peter that revealed the sin of Ananias. And here's what Acts 5, verse 3 says. "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" You see, Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they sold a piece of land and they said, "Well, we're going to give all the proceeds to the church," but the truth of the matter is they kept some back for themselves. And Peter didn't know that. But you know who did know? Yeah. Holy Spirit of God. And he said, you have lied to the Holy Ghost, keeping back part of the price of the land. And Ananias, he did it secretly. No one else knew except his wife Sapphira. But God knew all about it. And he revealed it to Peter for this purpose, to protect the purity of the early church. And here in Acts chapter 3, God gave Peter a word of knowledge that he would heal this man. Well, we also see a word of wisdom. God gave supernatural wisdom in this certain situation. And he does that, gives us wisdom when we have none. And honestly, apart from God, we have none. But there are certain instances where God gives insight in a particular situation. He gives us his wisdom in order that we might sort things out properly and see them properly. Wisdom is knowledge that's rightly applied, or right application of the facts. And Peter had this word of knowledge from God that God desired to heal the lame man. And then God gave Peter wisdom how to go about it. What to say to this man, what to do. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That didn't come from Peter. It came from God's Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, Jesus received a word of wisdom, and we see this in John 8, verses 4 and 5. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act, Master, they said, bringing them a woman caught in adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? What do you say about that, Jesus? You see, if Jesus had stoned her, then he would no longer be considered a friend of sinners, would he? On the other hand, if he said, just let her go, release her, he'd be in violation of the law that he came to fulfill. So what did he say? John 8, 7, he got a word of wisdom. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And all of a sudden, the hands that were gripping those stones, they opened and the stones dropped to the ground. Imagine the sound of that. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. We at times cast stones, don't we? We can all be guilty of that. But I pray every time that we've got a stone to cast that God would release our hands, open our hands and drop them and leave it in his glorious hands, because he knows how to best take care of it, doesn't he? So Peter received a word of knowledge. He received a word of wisdom, but Peter also received the gift of faith. Mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, to another the gift of faith by the same Spirit. And this gift of faith, it's a supernatural faith that God will give you if he's asking you to do something that's beyond the realm of what your typical faith would represent. You know, we have faith in God. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We have faith in God's Spirit that ministers to us and speaks to us. But there are those times when God gives us extra measure of faith to do what he's asked us to do, even though it may make absolutely no sense to us. But it makes perfect sense to God. It's the kind of thing that you would look back on someday with amazement, because you realize that God gave you a supernatural faith at this particular moment. And he accomplished his purposes through you by exercising that gift. And with this gift, the human impossibility of what God's calling you to do is supernaturally overwhelmed with great and unshakable faith in God. And clearly, this was working in Peter in this account with the lame man, a supernatural faith that God gave at this time, this moment in time. And Peter knew. At the moment God spoke to him, what did Peter do? He fixed his eyes. The scriptures say he fastened his eyes on the man, and he spoke the words that God gave him to speak, and he spoke them with power, but also in faith. And Peter, without hesitation, he spoke. And what did he say? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This is a man that had never even stood on his feet before. This is what not an easy command for a man that had never walked. And Peter could have looked at this man. He could have looked at him in his lame condition and said, Lord, come on. This is impossible. I really don't want to be embarrassed. So I'm just going to keep quiet. And God, what if I didn't hear you right? What if? And if that was Peter, that man would have stayed there on the ground. But Peter didn't ask those questions. He responded in faith. He believed that God would do what he said he would do, rise up and walk. He grabbed him by the hand, and the man got up and he walked. But not only did he walk, he was leaping and praising God. Let's not be fooled. What Peter is exhibiting here isn't faith in his own faith, or faith because, well, I just think this is going to happen. Because if you just think something is so, you could also think, well, it might not be so. It's faith in God. It's faith in God that will do what he says he will do. And God's Spirit spoke to Peter that day. It said, Peter, you need to speak these words to this man at this moment in time for my glory and for his blessing. It's God that gives the gifts. We don't generate those ourselves. They all come from God. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things and distributes to each one individually as who wills? As he wills. The Scriptures also tell us to seek earnestly the best gifts. In other words, pray for them. If there's a spiritual gift that you don't have, pray for it. And you know what? If God wants to give it to you, he'll give it to you. But certainly don't despise him if he doesn't. He gives them as he wills. When we consider the Christian life, for those that have received Christ, those that are born again, the Christian life, and you will acknowledge this, it is a supernatural life, isn't it? It's always been a supernatural life. It's always been intended to be that. Not just on a church level, but a very personal and individual level too. And we must understand that we can't make these things happen, these supernatural things happen as Christians, that we rely on God. And we cannot force God to give us a gift of a word of knowledge, the gift of faith, or a word of wisdom. No, they must come from God's Holy Spirit in his measure and in his time. But we need to be sensitive, don't we? We need to be ready. We need to be sensitive with ears to hear, hearts to hear his promptings. And the promptings of God's Holy Spirit are incredibly powerful. And they're incredibly needful. You might be praying for someone, for example, and you don't even know why. I'm sure that's happened to you. But God knows. And he's the one that put that person on your heart to pray for. And then maybe later in a day, maybe a year later, who knows? You'll learn why. There was a need in that person's life that you've already brought to God's holy throne through your prayers. And you go, wow, God, that's amazing. You placed that person in my heart to pray for. I had no idea why, but God prompted you to pray. Or maybe God would give you a scripture verse, maybe one that you never even thought of before. You've probably read it, but maybe it's escaped your mind. God gives you a scripture verse, but it's right there. It's right there burning in your heart, and later you understand why you received it. It's for you. Or maybe God has given it to you to give to someone else. And you share that verse with that person and learned, oh my goodness, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. And God gave you a message for me today. Thank you. Praise God. I know that's happened in your lives. We've experienced that. Jackie and I have experienced that in our lives on the receiving end, but also on the giving end. It's God's Holy Spirit speaking. These promptings by God's Spirit are so incredibly important. So we really need to pay attention to them. It could be a phone call or text message that God moves you to make, and you have no idea at the time that whomever you're contacting is discouraged or down or in need of some love. And you do what God has asked you to do, and what does God do? He helps them. And sometimes God causes you to fasten your eyes, just like Peter did, Peter and John did with this man, to fasten your eyes upon someone that you don't even know. And he moves you to speak to that person some word. And God gives you just the words that person needed to hear. And family, these are wonderful, beautiful promptings of God's Spirit. And sometimes you see the effects that you have, but sometimes you don't, because God has someone else following up to help build upon what God's already begun through you. God works in ways that we don't always understand. Just be faithful. Just be faithful to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And as you respond to these promptings, God ministers to you. He's working in you, but he also ministers to those that you're sharing with. The problem is, at least as I see it sometimes, as I can speak for myself, I'm not looking for it. So I don't see what God's doing, or don't acknowledge what God is trying to do. And I'm not open to it. You know, we're so busy, wrapped up with life and doing other things and thinking about other things, that we don't have those still moments where God can just minister a word to our heart, a prompting by God's Holy Spirit. We need to pay attention. Yet on the other hand, there's many, many times in our life where we see God's hand working miraculously. And some people call it, and we've been told, oh, that is just a coincidence. We call it a God incidence. Or some people say, oh, that was just luck. I don't believe in luck. I believe in God's purposes and God's providence, don't you? God doesn't do anything by chance. It is well measured and planned out. And the more we understand that, the more we'll realize, as we see pieces coming together that we may not have understood, and you don't need to understand, we just need to obey. You know, God has shown us signs many times. I mean, literally signs. One directed us right back to our home for a grand and glorious purpose that we needed to get home for. And we've shared this with people, and they've kind of laughed. Oh, no, we know. We know that God speaks, and he moves, and you know, in any means that he chooses to get our attention. It could be a prompting. It could be a street sign. It could be a road sign. It could be a word from you, or a word from you, or a word from my wife, whatever it might be. And God impresses these things on our hearts. And you know what, family? Heeding God's promptings always leads to good things. Good things in the kingdom of God, as it does here too. And what we see here in this miracle, the revelation by God to Peter, this prompting of God by the Spirit of God for Peter to do what he did, led to a miracle. Yes, it led to a miracle of physical healing, but also spiritual healing, which, you know what, family, it's God's greatest concern. Does he care about our physical well-being? Of course he does. But I can tell you this, that our spiritual well-being is of far greater importance to God. But he works all things together for good. To those that love him and are the called according to his purposes. Right, Pastor Ron? I know that's one of your favorite verses. One of your favorites. But we know this to be true. And God works eternal purposes throughout our lives. He's weaving them in. He's weaving them through. He's weaving them out in order to bring us closer to him. and to secure our eternity in heaven with him one day. That is his greatest concern. If that wasn't his greatest concern, he wouldn't have caused the son or asked the son Jesus to die on a cross and pay a price that none of us could ever pay. There was one way, and that was through Christ Jesus our Lord. This miracle that, or these miracles that we're studying in this passage, they result in another sermon that Peter would preach, and we're going to see later in this chapter, not today though. And that would lead to something miraculous as well. 5,000 men, plus women, plus children getting saved. In fact, we'll find this in Acts 4, verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word. What did they hear? They heard the word. They heard the word. The word of God. God's Spirit moves through his word. They heard the word. They heard the gospel. And what happened? The number of them, of men, was about 5,000 plus women, plus children getting saved. Because Peter was such a great orator? I don't think so. He might have been. Even if he was, it wouldn't have made the difference. God's Spirit moved through the word of God that God gave Peter. And you know, you never know where a prompting of this Holy Spirit will lead. Or obedience to a simple, single prompting in the life of a single person. And then who knows where it's going to go? God knows. I want to share a story of the prayer revival of 1857 and 1858. It was known as the businessman's revival, and how one man's yes to partner with what God was doing in his generation led to a powerful revival where it was estimated that within a year, over 1 million people got saved. It's like, wow. I'm going to show you a brief video. It's only 2 minutes.
United States, 1857. Slavery, rebellion, rumors of war. In 3 years, Americans would turn on each other and make history. But in 1857 New York City, history, the kind textbooks don't mention, was already happening. The date was September 23rd. A Christian layman named Jeremiah Lamphere held his first ever businessman's prayer meeting in Lower Manhattan. It was not, by all accounts, a rousing success. He'd passed out flyers for weeks. 6 men attended. 2 weeks later, the stock market crashed. Thousands of families lost all they had. And one of the greatest spiritual awakenings the world has ever seen began. Week by week, Jeremiah Lamphere's tiny lunch hour prayer meeting grew larger and larger. By December, his 6 men had become 10,000 men. And they met not every week, but every day. The New York newspapers took notice, and when word spread to other cities, spontaneous revival broke out across the country. In Cleveland and St. Louis, thousands of people packed downtown churches and theaters 3 times each day just to pray. In Chicago, churches had to have waiting lists for people wanting to teach Sunday school. And all across America, pastors were baptizing 20,000 new believers every week. The revival eventually spread around the world. In England, entire towns were converted. Some towns disbanded their police force because of a lack of crime. And so many people came to Christ, churches had to hold services outside just to accommodate the crowds. The world had seen nothing like it, before or since. Global revival. God started it with one man. It changed the course of history. And now, in today's world, people need to know, can history repeat itself? Can it happen again?
Don't ever say God can't do it. That was in New York City. Some people say our state is sunk. I don't think God thinks so. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. The most revivals and powerful moves of God start in a small meeting with just a few. In this case, one man. God's Spirit prompted him. Jeremiah Lamphere, start a prayer meeting at lunchtime. And look what God did. It's incredible. Can you imagine? God's Spirit moving so powerful, so many people getting saved. The streets of the city is becoming safe. No more police necessary. That's the way to reduce a police force, isn't it? Never ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do anything that He asks you to do. There is always a reason. God doesn't ask us to understand what He's doing. He just asks us to obey. And good things will always happen as a result. Again, the Christian life is a supernatural life. And it includes heeding and obeying these promptings. And as we study the book of Acts, we know that there would be no book of Acts apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's equally true that there would be no book of Acts apart from a group of men and women at that time in history that were willing to hear God's Spirit and then to obey God's Spirit, whatever the cost would be. And in doing so, when we obey, again, it always leads to good things for the kingdom of God and the building up of God's people to the glory of God. So I want to encourage you as members of the body of Christ to listen for and to look for the promptings of God's Spirit and to obey what He's asking you to do by faith. And maybe for some of you, you're thinking, well, this would be all brand new to me. And that's okay. It has to start somewhere. Let's start now. Start expecting God to prompt you to do something for His glory. And then bear witness of that prompting that's from Him, and you will know that you'll know that you'll know that God is doing something special that He's asking of you. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's all good. Just start. God, give me an ear, give me a heart to hear what You want to speak to me. And then give me a heart to obey. And you watch how God moves and how He blesses. And as you see God's hand moving in you and through you, how He's blessing you, you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be strengthened. Why will God strengthen you, encourage you? So you'll keep on doing what He's asking you to do. It could be contagious, couldn't it?
Yes.
They talk about the contagion of COVID. That's nothing compared to the spiritual contagion. It's an incredible thing. And as the more that you listen, the more that you obey, you know what? You are going to hear God's voice with such sensitivity. You'll know. You'll develop an ear. You'll develop a heart for these promptings. And you know, you've heard people say, you've been on my heart, right? Have you ever said that or have you ever heard that from someone's lips? What is that? It's God's Spirit that's prompting a person to reach out to you. And of course, we do have the wrong option of making it up, right? Don't make it up. Because God knows and He won't use something that you're making up. But if He's prompting you, just say, yes, Lord, I'm going to respond. Because this is of You. And you know, God cares. And He uses caring people to minister to you. And He uses caring people like you to minister to others. How important it is for those of us that have been walking with the Lord for some time to be reminded. We need this reminder because that's why God put it in the Scriptures. We need this reminder of God's power and of His promptings. And I suppose it would be easy for us to say, well, you know what, I've done this before. I've been there before. I've been encouraged. I've encouraged others. I've heard God speak, and maybe you feel like you don't need to be reminded. we're convinced how powerful God is and how important this is. But we need to pay attention. And maybe there's something about your own self-preservation instinct. It's like, oh, if I do what God's asking me to do, people are going to laugh at me. They're going to mock me. Or maybe some fear that you might have of, what if I'm wrong? What if I really didn't hear God? Maybe this was of me. Well, you'll know quickly if it's of you. You also know quickly if it's of God. Don't let fears stand in the way. Don't let doubts stand in the way. Respond to God's promptings. And then move. Move on with it. Execute what God's asking. And so we get to a passage of Scripture like we're studying, and it brings us to the place to remember and be reminded that God still speaks. He hasn't changed. God still prompts. And He shows us how precious these things are, how precious they have been in the past, how precious they are to us presently and certainly in the future. And we need to be reminded how important that it was to us during those times and how important it was to us at those times when someone reached out to you and said, listen, God gave me this word for you, a scripture verse or a word of encouragement, whatever it might be. And you dwell on that and you think, oh, God, you're so good. And understand, too, when you do that with another person, those words will be on their end, too. All to the glory of God. And when we experience this, when we experience through obedience to these promptings, we realize the power and potential of just a simple prompting of God's Spirit. So be open to it and long for it. Long for it. Pray for it. And when God gives them to you, and He will, because He speaks to His kids. When He does, obey them and see, and you're going to see right before your eyes what God has in mind. It may be a very simple thing that God shares in just a moment. Take them seriously. Don't despise them. Don't brush them off. Respond and allow God to work through you. Watch Him build and grow. He'll grow you. He'll grow your sphere of influence, and you're going to see evidence of His Spirit in the lives of others. And none of it can happen unless we're open to it and open to say yes. Maybe there's a matter of obedience in your life where God has asked you to do something or to leave something, to walk away from something, and you've yet to obey. I think that we should take note how the work of God in our life can be stalled by our disobedience. You see, God leads step by step. One step of obedience leads to another. And certainly I wish that God would at times lay out the entire path for me so I can see it. But wouldn't that violate the Scriptures that say we walk by faith and not by sight? But God, I would appreciate if you'd let me know in advance so I can plan accordingly. That's not how it works. God gives us one step at a time. And I believe if God gave us the whole picture at once, we'd be overwhelmed, wouldn't we? He knows us. He knows how we are. He measures things out carefully, step by step. One step of obedience leads to the next. And if you don't take the step but question God instead, He's going to be silent until you obey. Maybe you're not hearing from Him. Maybe you feel like, well, I haven't received one of these promptings that you're talking about. Well, let me ask this question. Is there some element of disobedience in your life where God has said, here's what I'd like you to do, and you haven't done it yet? Do it. Go for it and be blessed. Jesus said to a servant in the parable of talents, and we find this in Matthew 25, verse 21, His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He said, "You were faithful in the little ones. Then I'm going to give you more." And it's an amazing thing when we stop and look at a passage like we're studying today, and we think about the testimony of this lame man who went out walking and leaping and praising God. And to think about this man named Jeremiah Lanphier that we just saw in the video, who obeyed the prompting of God's Holy Spirit, and you see what happened. Well, will there always be that kind of result? Maybe. Maybe not. But I can promise you this, there will be a result, and it's going to be a good result. And if you can affect the life of a single person, wouldn't that be worth it? Just a single person who would bring that about in their life too, and then maybe minister to somebody else through the prompting of God's Holy Spirit. And before you know it, you see it growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And that's what we see in the world today. The gospel has gone around the world. There's believers everywhere. Where did it start? The Feast of Pentecost. A handful of believers. Zechariah 4:10. "For who hath despised the day of small things?" You see, none of this is insignificant. That which we consider small and unimportant, it's important to God. The small things are important to God. Sometimes we think, well, there must be a very obvious movement of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, sometimes it's not so obvious. 1 Kings 19. In verses 11 and 12, it says, "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Sometimes we're looking for God to speak in earthquakes and fires and all kinds of incredible events. Listen, he speaks in a still small voice. And what an incredible blessing this is when God speaks to us in a still small voice or in a prompting by God's Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing, and we get to live an amazing life as Christians. In the midst of the great needs around us, we can be overwhelmed at times, can't we? You know, we look at the whole thing. And sometimes we can lift our hands up and say, well, gee, I throw my hands up. What can I do? I'm just one person. How can I affect change? And you know, it's easy for us to talk ourselves out of doing anything by saying, I don't really matter. I'm just one small fish in an enormous ocean. I'm insignificant. I just can't. But really, it's not about you or your perceived insignificance. It's about God's magnificence in your life. It's about His magnificence and His desire to use people like me and you. How wonderful He is. It all starts with one person that's willing to say yes as God's Spirit prompts, and you have no idea how far God is going to carry it, do you? You have no idea. I can promise you Jeremiah Lanphier had no idea, and millions of people came to Christ. You know, that's the need of our world, is Jesus. It's the need of our workplaces. It's the need in our neighborhoods. It's the need in our family. They need to see you and I. They need to see you and I respond to the supernatural work of God's Spirit in us and through us in small ways or big ways, whatever way God asks us to do. It's the potential for every single Christian, every single one of us. We can do this, family. Why? Because God asks us to do it and to be sensitive Don't wait for some massive move of the Holy Spirit of God and think that's how change takes place, or that's how deliverance takes place, or that's how God accomplishes his work. Can he? Yes, he can. But listen, what did Elijah hear? He heard a still small voice. Moses heard a bush speaking to him. God spoke to Abraham and he just said, go. God called David in from the field, young shepherd boy. Made him a king. God called the apostles. He just said, come and follow me. Supernatural results. In all these cases, and in your case too, God used a single word to call the prophet Samuel. What word did he use? His name. Just said Samuel. And of course, he needed to get his attention after a few times, but he did. And Samuel obeyed. And Samuel became a great prophet and priest. And here's the result of that. 1 Samuel 3:19. It says, and Samuel grew. Listen, when we obey the Lord, we grow, don't we? When we obey the Lord, we can't help but grow spiritually. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Now, this is so important, and did let none of God's words fall to the ground. I find that challenging. Please, please, family, don't let God's words or God's promptings fall to the ground, because God desires to use you. God desires to use you. God desires to use you. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. And in each and every case, when God speaks to you and you say, yes, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do it, small, medium, or large. And in each of the cases that we just touched on here very briefly, with Elijah, Moses, Abraham, David, the Apostle Samuel, you and me, change took place, didn't it? And it took place at the promptings of God to those that were willing to obey. And I can promise you that Jeremiah Lamphere had no idea how God would use him. But don't you find this exciting? I hope you do. Because I find it incredibly exciting. Because I realize now, not that I haven't seen it in the past, but I realize that God, he's really serious about this. He wants us to hear him. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to hear with our ears, with our eyes, with our hearts, whatever it is, any way he can get our attention. If he's got something for you to do, he will share that with you. And he only wants us to be open to him and then to obey what he asks us to do. And I find that thrilling, that God can use me. And you ought to be thrilled too, that God can use you and desires to use you. There's one key thing that is most important in order to be used by God. You must belong to him. You must belong to him. You must be one of his. And please don't be fooled by those that say everybody that has been born is God's child. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that all of us that are born are God's creation. But in the Gospel of John, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, to become his children. To many as received him, to receive Christ into our lives, which means that we have come to him humbly and acknowledged that we've sinned. And realize that the greatest need we have is for salvation and forgiveness of that sin in order that we might be saved. That's how we enter into a relationship with God. We understand it. We seek forgiveness. We trust in His work on the cross, and we stop trusting in ourselves for salvation or our own works. We trust and believe the scriptures that say that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, He rose from the dead to new life. And that's the new life that He promises each of us. But it requires that we believe by faith what God has said. And we no longer trust in man or this or that or this church or that institution or ourselves. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. God says there's no other way. And I know it to be true because I believe what God says. So if you would like to receive Christ today and to know that your eternity is secured with Him in heaven and that you can begin a brand new life right now this morning by placing your faith and trust in Him, I'd say that's a pretty good desire to have because it's God's desire for you. And what does that mean in a practical sense? Well, it means when you leave here today, you can know that the burden of sin has been lifted from you. And I know what it's like before I came to Christ. I lived with a lot of guilt, and it was heavy, the heaviness of sin, because I knew that there was a barrier there, that it's sin that separated me from God. And it took me a long time to acknowledge that there was even a barrier there. But as life went on, I could see that there's something missing in this life. And I'm so grateful that people prayed for me and shared the truth with me. And the thing that I needed most in life was Jesus Christ. And that's man's greatest need, the need of salvation through Christ and in Christ. So would you pray with me, please? And then we'll share the Lord's table together. And Father, I come to you today. I acknowledge that I've sinned against you and I'm in need of you. I've tried many times to improve myself, to improve my life, but they were all temporal. They're incomplete and imperfect. So I cry out to you this morning, asking you, please forgive me and cleanse me from all of my sin. I believe that you are the Son of God who came to take away my sin and that you laid your life down on a cross and bled and died for me as payment for the debt that I owe. I believe that when you died, you were buried in a tomb and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, just like you said you would. So I invite you into my heart right now at this very moment to be Lord of my life. Help me to, from this moment forward, to walk with you, to live for you, to turn away from the things that I know are harmful to me, because I want a new life, and you have given me a new life. You've given me a fresh start, a good start, a perfect start that leads me all the way to heaven. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.